April 21st, 2024. Let's discuss the very first portion of Haggadah Shel Pesach. Haggadah Shel Pesach, right after the Kiddush, perhaps that's the very first portion, but the very beginning of Magid begins with the following words, Keha, or Ha, according to some, Lahma Anya. We refer to the Masa, which is in front of us, Keha, or Ha, this, or like this, bread of Anya. Anya, the easiest translation is probably poverty. It's a poor man's bread. Di achalu avhatana be'arad im Israim, that our forefathers ate when in Egypt. That's an initial opening statement. Right after that, we don't continue to describe the matzah. We go on and say, kod yichpin yeteh v'yechul, kod yisrich yeteh v'yifsach. We invite in the people who are impoverished and poor off the street. Anyone who's interested in eating, if we have Korban Pesach, anyone who's interested in partaking in Korban Pesach. And then we conclude and give the whole synopsis of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Hashatah ha, we might be here now, l'shana haba'a ba'arad Yisrael, next year, inshallah, we'll be in Israel. Hashatah ha, avdeh, here, now, we're, so to speak, slaves, similar to the words of the Gemara when it describes the miracle of Purim, where Akati Avde Ahashverosh Anan, we're still slaves to a sovereign or to a foreign sovereignty. There's a different government, there's a different ruling hand. That's our slavery, maybe not the servitude of Egypt. L'shana haba'a b'arad Yisrael b'nei Horin, we look forward to and we anticipate next year being free people in Arad Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, where we'll have our own government, our own self-sovereignty. That's the opening passage. There is a realization that this passage is not really mentioned in the earliest texts of what was said. It's actually Aramaic. It makes sense. Aramaic would come later than the earlier stages of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It appears to be sometime later on this was inserted. It's interesting that the rest of Haggadah Shel Pesach is Hebrew. This opening passage is in Aramaic, Abar Benel, if I'm not mistaken, suggests that this passage is inviting people off the streets. You need to make certain that they understand what you're talking about. You can explain matters inside in Hebrew and then translate it and then deal with it. But if I'm turning to a person and actually expect them to come off the street, to begin with a Hebrew declaration and then to translate it will be a lot more difficult to actually get them in. So we begin by talking in the vernacular. They used to talk in Aramaic. That was the way you invited them in. That's the opening passage of Haggadah Shel Pesach. I'd like to focus on one or two things that seem questionable over here. The first thing is that if this is a passage primarily describing the Masah, well, then that's what it should do. In other words, we start with an initial sentence about what this matzah is, and then quickly segue into, well, enough of that philosophy. Let's invite people in. What's with the initial statement? You never finished it. This is the poor man's bread which we ate in Egypt. Yeah, and therefore, well, invite everyone in. Everyone's invited to partake in it. You could have just said everyone's invited to partake in the food. What's the description initially of, I'm going to talk about what the matzah is, and now let me invite others in. You didn't finish your sentence. And alternatively, if it's really fundamentally a conversation point or invitation to the people out on the street, just mention that. Just open with, kol dichbin yeteh v'yechul, open the door and say, anyone who wants to eat should come and eat together with us. Why is there some sort of, I don't know, difficult transition from a description of the matzah to an invitation of the guests off the street? What's more is that later in the Haggadah, we have a statement from Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel explains why we eat the three primary eating things on the Leil Pesach. The Pesach, the Matzah, and Maror. And when he describes why we eat Matzah, there's no mention of it being poor man's bread. Matzah zo she'anu ochelim al shuma, al shum shelo hispik besekam shel avotenu lahmitz, ad shenigla alehem melech machi ha-melechim ha-kadosh baruch hu, uchala miyad, she'ne'emar v'yofu et ha-basek asher osiyu ממצרים ugod masot ki lo hamet, ki goreshu ממצרים ולא יאכלו להתמהמה, וגם סדה לא עשו להם, besides פסוקים ששמות פרק יוד בית, but he has no mention of the Pesukim later on in Devarim, Perek Tetzayin, that describe it as a Lechem Oni. It's not as if we open the Haggadah Shel Pesach by articulating, by creating something that's not in the Torah. The Torah does later refer to the Matzah as Lechem Oni, But in the Haggadah proper afterwards, when we get into the meat of the Magid, there's no mention of Lechem Oni any longer. So you might appropriately suggest there are two reasons. There's a Lechem Oni reason, and there's a separate reason, which is the haste, the speed that Rabban Gamliel cites from the Pasuk with which we left Egypt. But why have them separated? Shouldn't, when we open up the Haggadah, say this is the reason for the matzah? Or maybe when Rabban Gamliel speaks about it, say these are the reasons for the matzah? Why is it, A, that this first passage seems internally disjointed? On the one hand, it's talking about the reason for the matzah and then quickly segueing into an invitation of guests. And secondly, within the Haggadah, it's a disjointed passage because it didn't really tell me the reason for matzah in its entirety at any point. You began with one reason and you ended with another reason. So I'd like to briefly take us on a journey through the rabbi's words on matzah, try to develop and understand a certain underlying theme and principle, which perhaps is what Haggadah Shel Pesach really, if we read it carefully, if we read it sensitively, is trying to teach us. Let's begin with Gemara in Masechet Pesachim and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Some 9 lines from the top, we can pick up 2 words before the end of the line where it says Rabbi Akiva. There's the famous description of Masah being Lechem Oni, as the Torah refers to it, but explaining what those words mean. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Masot, Masot, Riba. I would say he's responding to the opinion of Rabbi Yosi HaGalili. Imken, Matamud Lomar Lechem Oni. What do the words Lechem Oni mean? Perat, halachically speaking, it comes to exclude Le'isa Shenilosha B'yayin V'shemen Udvash. Coming to tell you that the matzah that you eat on the night of Leil Pesach cannot and may not be what we refer to today as matzah ashira. It can't be egg matzah. It can't be matzah which has honey in it or any fruit juice or any wine or any oil. It needs to be pure flour and water. For what reason? Well, Rabbi Akiva, without getting into reasons of hametz or anything of that sort, says quite simply, it's got to be poor man's bread. Lechem Oni means the most simple in terms of ingredients, that's flour and water. And as a result, of course, the halacha is on Leil Pesach, when we fulfill the mitzvah of Achilat Matzah, it needs to be pure flour and water matzah. That's again a derasha from the word Lechem Oni. It's bringing us into an appreciation of this poor man's involvement. You want to know why matzah is known as Lechem Oni, as a poor man's bread? What about it characterizes it as a poor man's bread? It's that it's got nothing lavish to it, no additional ingredients. That's the initial description, very much in line with our first words in the Haggadah, giving them a little bit more depth. Kehalachma anya. What's the Lechem Oni? It's the fact that this matzah is quite simple. It's not sweet. It doesn't have any additives. It doesn't have any spices or anything of that sort. First Gemara. Second Gemara, Gemara in Masechet Pesachim again, but on Daf Kof Ted Vav Amud Bet. The Gemara over here again will address what Lechem Oni is, but now very bottom of the Amud, the Gemara says, Amar Shemuel, 4 lines from the bottom, Amar Shemuel, Lechem Oni, Lechem Sho'onin Alav Devarim. A well-known suggestion of Shemuel. Lechem Oni refers not to the impoverished state of the bread, but rather to what you do with that bread. Onim alav, you talk and you answer questions while it's in front of you. Ba'avur ze, we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, lo amarti ela b'sha'a shemasa u'maror munachim lefanecha, needs to be that the masa and maror in front of me, as I'm explaining, as I'm v'gadeta lebinechaying, as I'm sipuri siyam israiming, as I'm fulfilling this mitzvah, the masa is right there in front of me. First opinion, not relevant to our conversation. Tanyana me'ache, lechem oni. We have a beraita which accords with Shemuel. Lechem oni, what do those words in the Torah mean? Lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbe. Fair enough. Next, in the beraita, relevant for us. Davar acher, lechem oni, ani ketiv. The pasuk is written haser. Doesn't say oni, which might refer to responding. Rather, ani. Ani refers to the impoverished, poor, stricken state. What's that? Ma ani shedarko biprusa. Afkan, says the Gemara, continuing, biprusa. What's the explanation to lechem oni? This is perhaps the most famous application. The same way a poor person doesn't have full pieces of bread, they suffice with half a loaf, they suffice with a slice. So too, when we have matzah, Leil Pesach, it should be pirusa, it should be something which is broken. Of course, that's the reason for yahatz, why we break the matzah at Leil Pesach. So it means these two gemarot lead us in a very clear and simple direction, and that is, as we began Haggadah Shel Pesach, matzah's purpose is lechem oni. We're going to experience and find in the matzah the realization, the experience of the impoverished state of our forefathers, understanding what it meant to be a slave and not getting fancy food. In truth, in the commentary to the Haggadah of Rashbaz, he cites, this is well quoted, but I haven't seen it recently, he quotes from Ibn Ezra, who in turn is describing a time of being enslaved in, if I'm not mistaken, in Turkey, I think he says in Hodu, whatever the circumstance specifically was, we're dealing with some 800 or so years ago, and he says they used to feed the poor enslaved people with matzah. Why? This has nothing to do with Egyptians, has nothing to do with Haggadah Shel Pesach or anything of that sort. Why were they giving them matzah? Because it doesn't get moldy, because it doesn't rot as much. So you give the food which will last the longest, which you could store away, which you don't need to make fresh, to the poor, impoverished individuals, to the slaves. Again, that's all we're developing so far. Haggadah Shel Pesach begins with a mention of matzah being lechem oni, and the rabbis say, number one, Rabbi Akiva, make certain that your matzah does not have any extra additives, nothing put into it. Number two, the Gemara says, that's why we break the matzah. It needs to be like a poor person. Again, the general entity we're citing and explaining is something that perhaps slaves would get. You don't want it to rot. You don't want to be making special food for them. You store that away and it'll last a very long time. Okay, here's where things get a little bit more interesting in the Gemara and Daf Kof Het. So this is our quick tour of several Gemarot in Masechet Pesachim. Backwards now to Daf Kof Het. If you take a look, maybe, I don't know, about 20 lines from the top, a few words onto the line where it says, Va'afilu anisha b'Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyasev. You see that? The first word in the word is ad. It says right there, itmar, right in the middle of a line, next to the little bit of the Ein Mitzvah, Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah. It says, itmar, masa sarich heseba. When you eat matzah, you need to be leaning. It's a law we're all familiar with. Maror en sarich heseba. When you eat maror, another law we're all familiar with, you need not, and perhaps should not, be leaning at all. What's the reason for this? If you take a look at the right-hand side at Rashbam, Rashbam, is, it's in the middle of the page, says Rashbam. The top of the page is Rashi. Below that is Rashbam. If you trace down some 25 or so lines, it says, Masa sirichya heseba, kesheochel masa shel mitzvah, laila harishon. When you eat the matzah, which is fulfilling a mitzvah on the first night of Ba'erev Tochlu Masot, kibne horin, you need to be leaning like free people. Because after all, the reason we eat the matzah is to commemorate, to remember the redemption, the freedom. Maror en sarich heseba. That's in contrast to the maror, the bitter herbs. You don't lean on those. Shuzeche la'abdut. That is in contrast, quite the opposite. Commemorating and remembering the bitter, difficult times. Okay, well, this being the case, I have just a very basic question, and perhaps it's been tugging at you throughout, but here's the very basic question. Leave our initial two questions aside for just a moment. Let's focus internally on the matzah. Matzah is freedom or slavery? Matzah is the good life or the difficult life? It's the rags or the riches? On the one hand, we've been developing and saying matzah is all about being lechem oni. It's about the poor man's bread. We gave several applications, several explanations for it. All of a sudden, the Gemara somewhat surprises us over here, but not that much, because the Gemara says you need to be leaning when you eat the matzah. It doesn't surprise us that much, I say, because we did read the words of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel told us there is an application of matzah. There is an understanding that it is zecher la geula, the fact that we left Egypt so quickly, it remembers the redemption. But this question, very briefly, is alluded to in Tosafot on the left-hand side, in Dibura Matchil Maida Hava Hava. If you trace that Tosafot down a couple lines, it's the fourth Dibura Matchil of Tosafot. In the middle of that Tosafot, it says, or maybe just four lines before the end of the line, before the Dibur of Tosafot, it says, Ve'af al gav, says, and even though, Dehavya lechem oni, even though, anytime you start a sentence with even though means I'm bothered by something, something's difficult, even though Matzah is lechem oni, in other words, they're asking, then why are you leaning? Why is it zeche legeula? Yesh le'ochla derech herut. Right, Tosafot, you should nonetheless be eating it in a freedom stance, in a freeman's mindset. You're supposed to be eating it while leaning and experiencing redemption, even though, again, they didn't really answer the question. They just said, well, I know it's that. On the other hand, it's this. There's a certain dichotomy. There's a certain self-contradictory nature of the matzah, which Tosafot realizes immediately, but doesn't fully flesh out for us. I'm almost done with the analysis, and then we'll bring it home. In one last source, it's from the Perush of Ramban Nachmani in his commentary to the Torah in Devarim Perek Tetzayin. But let's briefly get a understanding again of our development thus far. It means that the Haggadah Shel Pesach begins by describing the matzah the way the Torah does, as in lechem oni, keha lachma anya. This is a poor man's bread. The Gemara in two places addresses what it means to be a poor man's bread. No masa ashira, no adding anything to it. Number two, perusa, make certain that you break the matzah. Got it. On the other hand, the Haggadah Shel Pesach itself, the Gemara prescribes the halakha based on that, understands that, well, the pasuk tells us we left really quickly, as a result the dough couldn't rise. That's why you have matzah on this night. But wait a second, is it because of servitude? Or is it because of freedom? Ramban Nachmani, as I said in his commentary to the Torah, at the very top here on this page, Kof Mem Aleph, it's in Devarim, Perek Tetzayin Pasuk Bet, Ubi'er Bekan Devarim Rabim, says Ramban Nachmani, there's an explanation in the Pasuk of many matters. Ki hiskir b'matzah, because he references and mentions matzah, shetihyeh lechem oni. Again, the Pasuk says, Masot, lechem oni. Pause for a second. Listen to those words. The pasuk doesn't just say you'll eat lechem oni. The pasuk says you'll eat masot lechem oni. Says Ramban Nachmani lehagid kisiva b'mitzvah lizkor sheyasa b'chipazon. He says this mitzvah is number one to remember masa. What's ugot masot ki lo hametz? It's masa because you left in a hurry. Redemption, herut, freedom, vehu, and furthermore, oni. Zecher ki hayu b'mitzrayim b'lechem tsar u'mayim lahatz. V'hine termoz lishne devarim. Says Ramban Nachmani, the two references in the pasuk of matzah and of lechem oni are two separate meanings that underlie the eating of matzah. Number one, matzah, freedom. Number two, lechem oni, poor man's bread. Both are present and apparent in this food which we eat, says Ramban Nachmani. V'chen amru, and I think if we read these words now properly, he's alluding to quite a chidush. And so too, the Haggadah says, writes Ramban Nachmani, ha lachma anya di achalu avhatana be'ar'a de Misraim. Period. What's v'chen amru? So too, it says, or we say, or it was said in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Does this address both issues or only one? Ha lachma anya diachalu avhatana be'arad Misraim. The simple reading is it only addresses one. We are talking about over here the second of the two things that Ramban mentioned. But it's a little funny to mention this over here because Ramban just told us there's two reasons for the masah. V'chen amru, and so too. You'd think he's going to mention both. Perhaps Ramban Nachmani has a very clever and creative reading. It goes like this. Ha lachma anya. Period. There's one aspect of the masa, and that's called lechem oni. That's poor man's bread. All sorts of applications. Remembering the servitude, the slavery, the hard times. Next. Di achalu avhatana be'arad Misraim is not a reference to the masa that we ate when we were slaves. It's a reference to the masa which we ate upon our exodus from Egypt. Di'achalu avhatana be'arad Mitzrayim means, as we were leaving Egypt, the urgot masot kilo hametz, the lo yachol lehitmahamea. In other words, what Ramban is finding in our initial line of the Haggadah, embedded in those words, is these two aspects of the matzah. Number one, lechem oni. Number two, ge'ulah. Number two, swift and hasty redemption. So if we're following again, it means that we've developed two seemingly contradictory points with regards to matzah and Leil Pesach. Number one, lechem oni, the words with which we open. And number two, ge'ulah, redemption, speedy, hastily of God. How do we square these two? How do we make sense of a night which is supposed to bring a certain clarity, but seems to be just confounding and confusing? I would suggest the following. What we're doing from the beginning of the Haggadah in that seemingly disjointed line is really representing what this night is all about. As we sit as free people, as we experience lavish, free lifestyles, we have a mandate. And the mandate and responsibility that is handed over and commanded to each of us is the following. You need to stay grounded. You need to realize where you came from. So yes, I want you celebrating the goodness of this moment. I want you celebrating and being thankful to God through Halel, Sheva, Hoda'ah, etc. But at the same time, I want you not taking your mind and eyes and heart off of where you came from. So start the Haggadah with the words that describe where you came from. Allude to the moment in which you were redeemed in that very same line. Pause. My goodness, I know life seems really good for me, but remember where we were? We were slaves. It was God's redemption of us. Now that I've thought about that, now that that's really penetrated my soul, it's become a part of who I am, I realize my responsibility. I can't do anything but I turn to the person who's downtrodden, who's needy, who's poor, and I say, that was me. That's my responsibility. So I need to be experiencing both in one. If I'm just experiencing servitude, I don't realize responsibility either. I don't say a slave has a responsibility to help another. If I'm just experiencing alternatively freedom, well, then I think about myself and I become self-centered. It means that the Haggadah Shel Pesach begins with not a disjointed statement. It's not two separate things in Kehalach Ma'anya, in one thing being a slave bread and another thing being a freedom. In the Gemara telling us, on the one hand, we eat it as if we're slaves. On the other hand, we eat it as if we're free people. We do both at once, because by doing both at once, we realize our responsibility of that invitation of others. We couldn't and wouldn't truly include others had we not, in this moment, at this time, remembered where we came from and understand what we're grateful for. It's, in truth, it's what many suggest in the Torah. The Torah, you see, there's a seeming discrepancy between Parashat Yitro and Parashat Vayetchanan with regards to the command of Shabbat. Whereas in Parashat Yitro, Shabbat is presented as Zechel Ma'aseh Bereshit. In Parashat Vayetchanan, when Moshe is repeating it and remembering it, handing it over to the generation who's now going into Egypt, he says to them, you want to know what Shabbat's all about? It's about Yesiat Mitzrayim. What's Yesiat Mitzrayim? V'zacharta, you'll remember. Ki Eved Hayita B'Mitzrayim. You were a slave in Egypt. Therefore, you want to know what's your responsibility on this day of Shabbat? Make certain that your slaves and your maidservants and everyone who comes in contact with you is as a result resting. Your responsibility to treat others properly because you were there. It's that message again. You see, Am Yisrael is supposed to, and this is a message repeated time and again in Sefer Devarim, it's supposed to instill within me those contradictory, seemingly at first glance feelings. On the one hand, oh my goodness, look at where I was. On the other hand, look at where I am right now. And therefore the realization of my responsibility to help others, to invite others in. That's the message, I believe, that's inherent in the very first lines on Friday night. I filled this out a little bit further by remembering the Midrash, which Rashi quotes in Bereshit Perek Yod Gimal, Pasuk Gimal. The Pasuk over there begins by describing Avraham coming back from Egypt, where the Pasuk says, Vayelech lemasa'av. Avraham goes on his travels. And Rashi cites from the rabbis and saying, what does it mean he went on his travels? He went back to the same inns which he went to on the way into Egypt. So the graphic details that I gave to it were on his way into Egypt. I mentioned this earlier this year as well. On his way into Egypt, he was a parashat lech lecha. He was a poor person. On his way into Egypt, he was staying in low-level hotels, the ones that are the cheapest ones. He was getting them on, I don't know, bargain deals online, and he was able to stay and, you know, to hope that he didn't get bed bugs and things of that sort on his way in. He was probably going on the buses in and just scrounging his way through. On his way out, the Pasuk describes how Paro awarded him with wealth, with riches, and all that sort of stuff. How would he now be acting? What would he now be doing? That's what the Chachamim pick up, and they say, Abraham vayelech lemasa'av. He went back to the same ones. He kept himself grounded. He realized that instead of now staying in the fancy places, instead of now flying in a particular way, he says, now I can go like a simple person, remembering that way so that it instills within me the responsibility to infect others positively. That's the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Again, that's the imagery of the Masa. The Masa from the onset of the Haggadah throughout Divrei Chachamim is a contradictory item. On the one hand, it's Lehemoni. On the other hand, it's Herut. On the one hand, we start off, we don't really focus on the two aspects. We focus on responsibility of where you were. We get to the end and we say, now start leaning. You invited in the others. Now enjoy this moment, but enjoy it responsibly and appropriately. It means that Haggadah Shel Pesach, of all the holidays, it's the holiday on which we focus on this aspect most, which is a shocking thing. Harambam in Hilchot Yom Tov says, by definition, what does it mean to celebrate? What does it mean to have Simchan Yom Tov? So oftentimes people assume, en simchayla bebasar vayayin, it's true, the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kof Chet says so. But that's not sufficient, says Harambam. He appeals to the Pesukim in the Torah, simple Pesukim in the Torah. What does the Pasuk in the Torah say? Pasuk in the Torah says that you need to invite in the strangers, you need to invite in the widows, you need to invite in the orphans. The Torah is very clear, you need to be including others in this. Says Harambam, a person who thinks they'll fill their belly with meat and drink plenty of wine, that's Simchat Kereso, that's happiness of your belly, that's happiness of a selfish individual, that's not Simchat. Hashel mitzvah. Simcha shel mitzvah is defined as the involvement, the engagement with others. In truth, at the end of the passage of Arami Oved Avi, which we read from Devarim Perek Avav, it says, V'samachta, you're going to rejoice together with others. That's what the Torah tells us time and again. But we only do this on Pesach. At the beginning of Sukkot, to the best of my knowledge, nobody opens, we invite in the Ushbizim. We don't invite in the poor people. On Shavuot, we're too busy finishing the meal to get to learning, whatever we're doing, we're not inviting in others. It's only on Leil Pesach. So yes, Leil Pesach had a Korban Pesach. It was easier in that respect. But I wonder if on the very holiday on which we remember when we were in that state, when we remember where we came from, when that is the mitzvah of Masa, as you realize where you are right now, as you experience those riches in this moment, you tap into those rights. That's the best moment to invite others. That's the moment where you can really experience the Shabbat of Sefer Devarim. That's the moment where you really, that's where Harambam writes in his Mishneh Torah when he describes Sipuri Siyat Misraim to the simple child. The simple child, says Harambam, when you got to deal with a wise child, tell him the story, even mention Moshe, explain to him the intricacies, get into it at depth. When it's a simple child, point to the shivha, to the maidservant, to the chedema, and say, we will all once like her. Got it, son? Understand, my daughter? That's what we're celebrating tonight. That's the experience right now. You need to be able to depict that and feel that. That's the lechem oni. That's the lechem oni aspect. But wait a second, Dad. Mom, how come we're leaning as we're talking about this? Because since we remember where we came from, we as a result can experience in this moment the responsibility of helping and aiding others. In my family, we grew up with the following legend. I mean, it's a true one, but it was a legend. It's almost a word of legend. My father, when he was younger, his father passed away when he was 12 years old. He was raised by his mother and stepfather afterwards. They didn't have that much money. I'm sure even if they did, he was working during the summers at a young age. He had uncles who were very wealthy. They were Duane Reade stores. So they were not yet Duane Reade. I don't remember what it was called at the time. And as a result, he had a job. He was the stock boy for them. So he has lots of stories of what beautiful things that his uncles did, but how he worked hard. He said that was the only time in his life he had, as a rabbi afterwards, there was no avodat parech afterwards. Anyway, he said that he remembers, you don't really see this that much any longer, he remembers standing in downtown Manhattan with leaflets and trying to hand them out to people, because that was his job. He had to give, you know, for the pharmacy down the block. And he remembers people spitting at him and looking the other way and making fun of him, picking it up and throwing it back in his face. And so when we were younger, when they were still giving these out, I don't know, I don't see that often, we always took, everybody in the family had to take one, because that was the legend in the family. And then, you know, he kind of instilled with it, you remember where you come from, you remember your origins, and as a result, it infects you and the people around you positively. That's the story of Haggadah Shel Pesach from the beginning. That's that what we're calling a dichotomy, that contradiction of sorts. It's on the one hand, it's a lechem oni. On the other hand, we're leaning, says the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Kochet. How am I leaning if I'm having poor man's bread? I'm doing both at once to signify, to remember. I can be leaning, but it means I'm thinking about the other. I open, and we'll conclude with this, the Haggadah Shel Pesach with what seems like a disjointed statement. On the one hand, kehalachma anya. On the other hand, I go into, everybody's invited. What's the connection of one to the other? It's kehalachma anya, says Ramban Nachmani. Now pause and realize, de'achalu avhatana be'arad Mitzrayim. That's redemption. I started with poor man's bread, and I continued with redemption. Therefore, since I took those both in, remember Ramban's words, since I took those both in, it was poor man's bread, which I ate, and I'm redeemed, kol dichbiv. Anyone who needs, come on in. Kol disrich, anyone who needs. Now I feel it. Now I'm remembering. Now I'm seeing the leaflets on the street, remembering how they were thrown in my face. And as a result, understanding my responsibility to act with empathy, with a true sense of empathy, of understanding those people, the downtrodden, the poor, the strangers, those who don't seem to fit in, those who are being overworked, those who are having the difficult lives, I'm able to, as Abraham Avinu was, even in the state of wealth and luck and the good life of a free person, tap into the early stages of difficulty. The rags to riches story of Yetziat Mitzrayim is one which reminds us at all times, not only about the riches, but about those rags and the responsibility which comes together with them as well. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.